our Bible reading this morning comes from Mark 1, chapter 14 to 15. Now after John was arrested, Jesus came to Galilee, proclaiming the good news of God and saying, "The time is fulfilled, and the kingdom of God has come near. Repent and believe the good news." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
So, as it happens, I'm particularly fond of Mark's gospel. In fact, it was a small pocket-sized takeaway copy, those ones that sit at the back of the church, that really got me into structured, dedicated reading of the Bible. And Mark is the executive summary of the four gospels. There's no messing with Mark, and it's straight to the point. So at first glance, we could skip over those two verses of Mark's racy account of the announcement of Jesus' ministry. But those 35 words of the NRSV translation, that's our church Bible, have three massive fundamental concepts that we have to acknowledge for our faith journey to have a heart. The first of these concepts occurs in verse 14 and gives Jesus' ministry historical context and heavenly authority. It records the end of John the Baptist and heralds the new heaven and announces Jesus as the new Lord. And it confirms Isaiah's 7th century BC prophecy of the Old Testament, "Thunder in the desert, make the road straight." That's Isaiah chapter 40, verse 3. Then Paul's verse goes on to call the distinction between Old Testament laws and the ultimate impossibility to live our lives by the rules and laws of Deuteronomy and Leviticus due to our sinful nature. And it announces the kingdom of God's redemptive love that Christ brings. That's concept one, affirmed in verse 14 in just 15 words. Mark is stating it's the end of the old covenant, the new promise has arrived, and Jesus' ministry begins. Now, if you prefer your poetry to your executive summary, Paul, the apostle, puts it a lot more poetically in 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 7. And he says, "Now the ministry of death," what Paul is referring to is the old laws, "chiseled in letters on stone tablets, came in so great a glory that the people of Israel could not gaze at Moses' face because of the glory of his face, a glory now set aside. How much more will the ministry of the Spirit come in glory?" Now that's 36 words from Paul against 14 from Mark. Now we get to verse 15 and Mark races on with his account of Jesus' ministry with the fundamental concepts of repentance and belief. So let's look at repentance. What is repentance? Well, I attended a speeding awareness course this week. I had already confessed my crime. I had to. They had a picture of me at the wheel of my van. So I had to sign a bit of paper saying it was me. But my initial confession is not the same as the repentance I felt after the course tutor had explained with pictures and examples and discussions of what the potential consequences of my road behavior could have been. Repentance is often referred to as turning away from. In the Greek, it literally means turning 180 degrees. Now, if I'm honest, I have attended a speeding awareness course before, and the process was exactly the same. Following the course, I was the model driver for at least 6 weeks, diligently keeping to the speed limit and the other various behaviours that make for a good driver. But somehow, over time, I lost sight of that goal. I know what the behaviours of safe road use are and how important they are. But somehow, after a while, other influences take over. And that's how it is with life. And that's why the rules of Moses, Deuteronomy and Leviticus can never work. And that's why we need the continuous redemptive love of Jesus so we can turn again. In the next line of Mark's text, and following repentance, we are told to believe in the good news. And belief is a choice, and Jesus is the good news. For me, life is either empty and meaningless, and that the universe is the consequence of random events and coincidences, or there is a creator God with a will and a purpose for our lives. God's will and purpose for our lives is brought to us by faith in Christ, as heralded by John. In Christ, we are forgiven when we turn to him. In Christ, we have meaning and purpose to our lives. In Christ, we have access to freedom from sin and the joy of acceptance in our lives. So, how do we grow our faith and live by God's kingdom values? Believe, it's an active choice. Read the Bible in a structured way, and daily prayer. And like having to repeat the speeding awareness course, keep turning back to Christ's redemptive love. Let us pray. Thank you, Jesus, that you will intercede for us. Thank you that you break the bonds of our sins. Thank you that we can turn to you again. Amen.